A huge transmitter tower broadcasting atop a globe that is rotating in a halo of clouds. A radio picture. Radio Pictures presents Barbara Stanwyck in The Bride Walks Out, a film in black and white with Gene Raymond, Robert Young, Ned Sparks and Helen Broderick. An Edward Small production, directed by Lee Jason. It's 7:30, and a hand fumbles around to stop the alarm clock. A man in his early 30s sits up in bed and bleary-eyed dials a number on a phone on his bedside table. Elsewhere, a beautiful dark-haired woman is woken by the phone.
7:30, darling. Time to get up.
Thank you, darling.
She puts the phone receiver back down with her face still buried in her pillow. The man redials immediately.
No, no, no. None of that going back to sleep.
I'm up, darling. Really, I am. I'm on my way to the shower. Look, I got the towel in my hand.
Good morning, Miss Carolyn.
A cheerful maid.
Here's some flowers for you from one of your gentleman friends.
Send them back where they came from without my compliments.
Mr. Martin never sent you nothing like this. I can't see why you fool around with him when you got so many rich gentlemen friends chasing after you. And some of them even wants to marry you.
I don't understand it either. Love is like that.
Like what, Miss Carolyn?
I don't know. Just does something to you.
I'll say it do. Look what it done to me. I had my troubles, too, when I was your age. I had lots of men chasing after me, too.
What'd you do about him?
I married him. That's what I done about him.
Carolyn stops on her way to the bathroom.
All of them?
No, ma'am. One or two of them I jilted.
Carolyn heads off somewhat bewildered. Now, a 1930s pickup truck stops outside a large building.
Well, you'll have to admit, Marty, Paul gives you nothing but the best.
Yes, he's a spending fool when it comes to window shopping. But for actual buying, I have to do mine in the basement of the 5 and 10.
I married you. You didn't have a rag on your back.
Well, I got plenty of them now.
Paul and Michael, the man from earlier, drive off.
Look, Paul, I didn't want to tell you this in front of Maddie, but I was talking with John Lowe. He's the man at the Simmons Construction Company, and they're putting on men.
Well, that'll give us two jobs. It's bigamy.
But they're paying $35 a week. How'd you like to make $10 more a week?
I'd like it for one good reason, to build up my future alimony fund. Kind of a hope chest idea.
You know what $10 a week more would mean to me? I could marry Carolyn.
Listen, pal, take my advice. When a dame gets you going, keep right on going. By the way, my feeble-minded Lothario, did you happen to mention to Mr. Lowell that we're still employed by Alliance? You know very well they have an agreement among themselves not to take each other's men.
He knew that. The offer wasn't good unless we were free. So all we have to do is get ourselves fired.
Well, that should be simple.
I got an idea. Let's try it.
Why not? I might find I have no job at all. Then maybe Matty will divorce me. Well, there I go, daydreaming again.
On the corner of Fifth Avenue, the traffic is in gridlock. A policeman's on the scene. He's giving Michael a ticket.
Just obeying orders, officer.
Yes, and I'm ordering your boat to get out of here.
My first allegiance is to Alliance Engineering Corporation.
What's going on here?
They tried to run me over.
Who asked you to butt in? I'm field chief of the Alliance Corporation. I'm responsible for these men.
I'm glad to hear it.
What are you doing here? You're supposed to be on Third Avenue, not on Fifth.
What?
Michael stands up and checks his work slip.
Swear there was a 5. Doesn't that look like a 5 to you?
If that's a 5, it's seen better days.
What's this?
It's an invitation.
The judge is holding a housewarming over at the 59th Street Jail. Don't bother to dress. Now, you two get out of here before I write you an invitation.
Sorry, officer. We thought we could annoy a better class of people on Fifth Avenue.
I ought to fire you two.
By all means. You owe it to your conscience. And the good old AEC.
All together, kiddies. One short yell for the Alliance Engineering Corporation, if you can make a short yell out of that.
Well, here's a short yell for you. You're fired.
Board!
He's a delicate fellow. He's a delicate fellow.
They shake his hand heartily.
Get out of here! Get that car back to the garage in a hurry.
If you're trying to do this in 10 seconds flat, you can let me out at the next corner.
Nothing can touch us on this day. The guards are with us.
Well, the red light's against us. Well, what's the difference? Outside of my wife, I'm comparatively alone in the world. Even with my wife, I'm comparatively alone in the world. Hey, this isn't the way to the garage. Where are you going?
To my girl and paradise.
That's what you think.
Michael stops the Alliance and Engineering truck outside a lavish-looking building, and both men climb out and put on neckerchiefs.
You know, there's something about a horseman that clears everything away in front of him.
Wouldn't be the smell, would it?
Michael zips up his leather coat over the neckerchief and cuts a length of cable from a roll in the back of the truck.
There's your crop.
Paul tests it lightly against his leg.
I like this. It brings out the wife beater in me.
Michael cuts himself a riding crop, and they head into an elegant reception area.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Martin. I'm head buyer for the Tailored Lady in Milwaukee. Yes, this is Mr. Paul Dotson, my assistant buyer. You'll excuse our clothes, won't you? We're just in from a canter in the park.
Why, of course.
We'd like to see some of your new models.
Come this way, please.
The lady takes them over to a small sweeping catwalk, across which a model is gracefully parading. Michael whispers something to Paul, who raises his eyebrows as he chews on his cigar. Carolyn does a twirl on the catwalk, but then drops her handbag as soon as she recognizes Michael.
What are you doing here?
I got that new job. Now will you marry me?
No.
Well, can you get off for an hour?
No.
Well, I've got to talk to you.
I told you I'd marry you if I could keep my job.
Is anything wrong?
Oh, no. No, it's just that I'm admiring the details of the dress. It's very nice. Well, Mr. Dotson will discuss terms with you.
Let's go get in a corner somewhere. You'll find me very easy to get along with.
He leads the woman away, roughly.
You know the Martin women never work.
This is no place to discuss it.
$35 a week on my budget is enough for two people to live on.
But I don't want to live on just enough.
But look, we'll even have $5 left over at the end of every other week.
Please, Mike, not here.
But look, look. If we don't want to drink grade A milk, we'll have $1.25 more.
No, go away.
Oh, what do you want to do that?
Let me go.
It's a fine way to treat a guy who honors you with a proposal of marriage.
At $35 a week, it's an insult.
Another crack like that, and I'll withdraw my offer.
Offer? Don't make me laugh.
The trouble with you is you're mercenary.
Don't you talk to me that way. I'm not married to you yet. Take your grade B milk and go back to measuring the streets.
Measuring the streets? Who is this man? Isn't he a buyer?
Buyer? His week's salary wouldn't buy the sash off this dress.
It's all down here in the budget.
You get out of here.
All right. I'll go. It's a mighty funny way to do business.
This is no way to treat 100,000 Milwaukee women.
Later, Michael steps out in front of Carolyn as she's leaving work, barring her way. He produces a small posy of flowers, but she's not interested. He offers her another gift, and again she tries to get past him. So he puts his arms around her and eventually entices her into a kiss. A lifebelt stamped SS Coney Island. Michael and Carolyn are dancing energetically on the deck of a boat. They notice a particularly sprightly couple next to them, and Michael decides to up the tempo of their own dancing, spinning Carolyn around. Then he sees another pair carrying out even faster spins and sweeps, and he can't resist the challenge. Another man is throwing his partner onto either side of his hips, and so Carolyn and Michael decide to give the fancy move a whirl before spinning away into the throng of dancers. The couple head to a quieter part of the boat and watch the silhouetted city skyline drift by.
Woo!
Oh.
They sit down and Michael dabs his face.
Where's Junior?
Junior? I left him with you.
Junior!
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 Oh, here he is, here he is. Oh, am I glad I found you.
Devil?
A doll.
Of course, I was hoping for a girl. You know, a girl is a companion through life. But when a boy marries, you lose him.
Well, I suppose I'll have to pass out cigars to the boys at the office. But by the way, when can I tell them we're going to be married?
$35 a week wouldn't keep Junior in the bibs he's accustomed to.
It won't be for long. Look, there are bridges to be built, subways to be dug.
And bills to be met and rent to be paid.
I know times are tough, but I'm tougher.
Oh, you ain't so tough. Want to fight my big brother?
Go away.
My brother could lick Joe Louis, only Joe Louis won't fight him.
They walk away from the lippy kid.
What do you think I went to college for?
To neck on the campus.
I went to invest in an engineering degree. All right, right now it's only worth $35 a week, but it's going up. Way up. I'm giving you a chance to get in at the bottom. What do you say?
I say, all right, but I've got to bring my own capital with me. Youth and a certain kind of body you can hang clothes on that'll bring us $50 a week.
Oh, hang your $50 a week. I don't want it.
I do. I've lived comfortably on that by myself. Now you're asking the two of us to play house on less. The unimportant nice things are important to me. I never had them when I was a kid. Now that I've got them, I don't want to give them up. Maybe my love isn't good enough. Maybe I'm the wrong girl for you.
You're the right girl, all right. I've looked for you too long not to know that.
Still want to fight my brother? Bet you'd knock the pants off you. Then $1,000,000 you would.
Here's a nickel. Now beat it.
The guy on the other side of the boat gave me a dime. His goyle wasn't half as pretty as yours.
Michael frowns and leads Carolyn away as the kid starts playing a harmonica.
I wonder if I can make you understand this. Ever since I was a little boy, I've dreamed about what I'd do when you came along. I was going to lick the world and get what I want from life and lay it all at your feet.
I understand, darling, and I love your feeling that way. This dream of yours is swell, Michael, but you're a big boy now. This is a new world. Women have always worked. Why shouldn't they do it in a shop rather than in the kitchen? Answer me that.
There's no answer. You're perfectly right. My reason agrees with you, but there's something in me that's stronger than reason. If I gave up my dream, as you call it, everything would be gone, all at once.
And if I didn't, everything would be gone, bit by bit.
They stare into each other's eyes. Then Michael looks away and sighs.
Well, I guess that's that.
That's it.
She lets the doll fall from her hands, and they watch as the murky waters carry it away. Then, Michael suddenly pulls her to him.
What are we doing? What's all this talk about?
She tries to resist his kiss, but succumbs to his charm. It's the kid perched on the handrail. Now, at the Marriage License Bureau. A young woman ushers her fearful-looking partner into the office, where Carolyn is waiting by herself and looking slightly perturbed. Carolyn gets to her feet and peers out through the glass doors of the offices. She glances briefly at her watch, then starts pacing up and down. Meanwhile, Michael's in a car with Paul.
10 minutes to get married in. What a job!
You'll never make it. Why not give up the whole idea? Just a thought.
At the Marriage Bureau, Carolyn's still pacing, and after another look at her watch, she heads out of the exit door, but fails to notice Michael rushing in through the entrance. Paul spots her in the foyer, and after a moment's quiet contemplation, he steps into the bureau where Michael's looking agitated.
I wonder where she is.
I think it's only fair to tell you I just saw her going out. She's at the elevator.
What? Hey, Carol. Hello, come on.
Pardon me, aren't you mistaken?
Come on, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. The boss wouldn't let me. Where are you going?
Paul, I've been jilted.
What are you talking about, jilted? What do I look like, a flower girl?
Paul, I don't want to get married this way. I want a decent, respectable wedding.
Any kind of wedding makes you respectable?
No, I want to walk down a long aisle, miles long, with thousands of bridesmaids, hundreds of ushers, and tons of flowers. I want a hero promise me being sung.
Paul's got a fine baritone voice. He'll sing it. Come on.
You just wait till I get up in the world. We'll get a divorce, and I'll marry you all over again, the way you want.
I now pronounce you man and wife. $2, please.
The registrar stamps a couple's papers and looks up.
Next.
Listen, buddy, snap it up, will you? I gotta get back to work.
Do either of you know any reasons why you both should not be legally joined in marriage? If there be any present who can show just cause why these parties should not be legally joined together, let him speak now or forever hold his peace.
You see, nobody objects. Hurry it up, will you? If you don't, I'll lose my job.
Do you, Michael, take this woman to be your...
Yes, I do. For better or for worse, in sickness and in health. Just skip all that, will you? I know it all by heart. I'm taking her and she's taking me.
For all he's got or ever will have.
Do you wish me to skip the most beautiful part of the ceremony?
Beautiful? That's a hot one.
Young man, perhaps you wish to perform this ceremony.
Sorry, I forgot my instruments.
Just stamp that paper, will you? Here's your $2. I gotta get back to work.
Oh, no, Michael, no.
I tell you, honey, later on, millions of bushes, tons of flowers, but right now I gotta get back to work and there won't be any budget.
This is most unusual.
Don't pay any attention to her. It's just the excitement. She's so happy. She'll take me.
With you?
I suppose so.
I now pronounce you man and wife. $2, please.
There you are. Thanks.
Michael stamps his own papers and rushes out, dragging Carolyn behind him.
Let me go.
Oh, there's nothing to cry about, honey.
It gets them all that way.
You think I'm crying because I'm happy?
She's starting early. You usually don't get tears till after the honeymoon.
Honeymoon? What honeymoon?
Well, I told you my vacation wasn't until the last 2 weeks in September.
Oh, I've got to wait until the last 2 weeks of September for my honeymoon.
I advise you folks not to wait.
Oh, no. Why rush it? Why don't we get the children off to school and married before we go on our honeymoon?
Shh! Quiet! You certainly made a fine beginning. I'd like to know what the rest of our married life is going to be like.
I asked you not to make me marry you. I begged you.
You forgot to tell him about standing over a hot stove all day.
If we couldn't even get married decently on $35 a week, how are we going to live on it?
You don't have to. And this is the last time you'll throw my budget in my face.
You can't tear up my marriage license. It's adultery.
Hey, lady, you can't start a rumpus in here.
I didn't start it.
Well, you're putting a swell finish to it. Now quiet down and make less noise or I'll throw you out. There you are. Now you've got the law on us. Just a quiet, old-fashioned wedding. You had to start an argument here.
Look, buddy, when you get her home, I don't care. Beat the stuffings out of her. But get out of here before I throw the both of you out.
Just a second.
Just a second, nothing. Take that dizzy dame and get out.
That's my wife you're talking about.
I can't help that. All three of you scram.
Wait a minute, Johnny Law. I can't say I relish your tone of voice.
Easy, Mike. We gotta get back to work. Take it up some other time.
We'll take it up right now.
Paul, cigar in mouth, covers his eyes in dismay. Now a demoralized Michael's in jail.
Okay, boys. All in. This is judgment day.
Allender!
People versus Hugh McKenzie. Present.
Hugh's dressed in top hat and tails.
Mr. McKenzie, will you explain to the court, please, why a man in your position should be picketing and attempting to start a strike, particularly at a nightclub?
Well, it was nighttime.
Answer the court's question. Why did you do this?
The Club Seville is unfair to chorus girls. I paid a huge cover charge, and the poor kids didn't have a thing to wear. I want to picket that place every night. I haven't begun to fight.
That's very amusing. 10 days. Or $20.
Hugh smiles drunkenly.
Next case.
Carolyn's in the gallery.
People versus William Rice.
Yes, sir.
Charged with vagrancy. Guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
90 days. Next case. People versus Roy Pickens. Charged with being drunk and disorderly. Plead guilty or not guilty?
Guilty, Your Honor.
$20 for 10 days.
I believe this is my seat.
Hugh takes a seat by Carolyn. He's an attractive man with dark hair.
I'm sure we haven't met before.
I'm sure I'll manage to survive.
I'm afraid I won't. Let's get some mutual friend to introduce us.
Don't you know that this courtroom is full of my uniformed friends who are death on mashers?
And don't you know that you're the loveliest woman I've ever seen?
People versus Michael.
Can you see?
You're charged with resisting an officer, disturbing the peace, and destroying public property. You're guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Just a minute, Your Honor, please.
Carolyn barges past Hugh on her way to Michael's side.
It was my fault. I'm Mrs. Martin, Your Honor. You see, we were just married this afternoon, and I started the whole thing. It wasn't Michael's fault at all. I was selfish and unreasonable. I began picking on Michael the moment we were married. Please, Judge.
Well, that's different. I was going to give him 90 days. But in this case, 30 days.
30 days?
Or a $50 fine.
$50? Aren't you way off in your figures, Your Honor? If you took each offense separately, it wouldn't total that.
You've got 30 days to figure it out.
I got $50 at the apartment.
I'll go get it.
And I didn't want you to see the place till I took you home myself.
If you'll allow me, I'd be glad to advance you the money.
That's swell of you. We'll give it right back to you as soon as we get home.
If you folks don't mind, I'd like to try a few cases. Court clerk will take your fine.
All right. We'll know how to vote at the next election.
Now, Michael's arrived home with Carolyn and Hugh.
Now, close your eyes.
Uh-oh. I believe it's customary to carry the bride across the threshold of her new home.
Now, wait a minute. Just who married the girl?
Well, don't you know?
I think this is all very silly.
Well, somebody should be carried. Suppose you carry me.
I guess he's right, Michael. Come on, let's get it over with.
Ah! I can see you haven't carried many brides across. Mind if I show you?
I offer you one of two alternatives. Either you go home, or get a good sock in the nose.
As soon as I get my $50. But not to change the subject. Your technique belongs to an era when doorways were wide and women's hips wider.
What is this, a cooperative marriage?
But in this age of narrow doorways and streamlined hips, we must use other methods.
I don't budge until that guy goes home.
Carolyn walks in.
Where are the lights, Mike?
Right here.
The lights don't come on.
How do you like that? I forgot to have the electricity turned on.
Oh, that's all right. I'm swell at groping.
I imagined you were the type.
I'm going to give that guy his $50 and get him out of here. You saw what he did in the light. Can you imagine what he'll do in the dark?
Ouch! Let there be light.
Hugh uses his lighter.
Yes. Here's your $50 and thanks very much.
Well, there may be a lot more than that in here.
No, no, it's only 50. I was saving it for our honeymoon next September.
Oh, say, old man, I don't need it particularly. You pay me some other time.
Please take it. And good night.
I hope you'll be very happy.
He tips his top hat humbly and goes to leave. But at the door, he stops.
I hope, too, to forgive an old man his peccadillos.
With a tipsy smile, he closes the door.
Well, we're home.
Yes, we're home.
Say, how do you like this chair? The man said it was real needlepoint.
It's needlepoint, all right.
Well, go on, don't be afraid to tell me. If it's not right, we'll send it back. I wanted to have the whole house ready for you.
I love every bit of it.
Carolyn, I...
Yes?
Yes? I want you to take a look at this sofa. Go on, try it.
They sit at either end of it.
Oh, it's very comfortable.
Still holding the lighter, Michael looks around awkwardly in the half-light.
Well, just want to take your hat off?
Hat? Oh, yes.
Don't you want to take your gloves off?
Oh, guess I'd better.
Michael frowns to himself, then sets the lighter down on the coffee table.
What's the matter with us?
Matter?
We're acting as though we just met. We're married. Husband and wife.
Carolyn gets up, opens the front door, and goes back out into the hallway.
Come in, Mike.
He walks over to her.
Carry me in.
They gaze longingly into each other's eyes. Then he picks her up and carries her over the threshold. Now, the milkman is making a delivery.
How come cows are asking more for their milk this week than last?
I don't know, ma'am. I just get the price from the office.
Carolyn counts out the money.
The cows haven't formed a union, have they?
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
That's a lot of money for grade B milk. You don't happen to have any grade F milk, do you?
No, ma'am.
I've paid you enough money in the last 3 months to buy my own cow.
Yes, ma'am.
The milkman leaves, and Carolyn puts the bottles of milk in the fridge. She then looks at some final notice payment demands, one for $47.50 from the grocers, and another for $12.95 from a laundry firm. A delinquency notice from the Acme Furniture Company threatens repossession if account arrears for the months of June, July, and August are not settled at once. Carolyn looks deeply concerned.
Come on, darling. I'm leaving you.
She puts the invoices away.
How was breakfast, darling?
Unorthodox. You toasted the eggs and scrambled the toast.
Well, I only read one chapter in the cookbook. It's called How to Become Acquainted with Your Kitchen Stove. In the next chapter, I'm properly introduced to it. Then you wait and see.
Don't you get the idea I'm complaining? I'm not. You're doing fine. Bills are being paid. Landlord's satisfied. I guess we can get along without you working.
I guess so.
He kisses her passionately.
Why, Mr. Martin, we hardly know each other.
Oh, here's one to cement our friendship.
Come on, Mike. Let's give our all to the Simmons Construction Company. Branches in Chicago, St. Louis, and Omaha.
Temporarily, I give my youth, my brains, and my energy to Simmons. But someday, to put it mildly, I shall be lord and master of all I survey.
You can be lord and master of all we survey today. A garbage dump up in the East Bronx. Let's go.
Paul to his wife, Mattie.
You want to see somebody?
Hop into your mink, Carolyn. It's dollar day down at Conn's. And I've got a dollar.
Where'd you get it?
We may pick up a few choice sables and a silver fox or two.
Are you insinuating that I don't...
No, my lamb. Merely reminding you that I haven't had a fur coat since the time our police dog was shedding.
We gotta go. This will keep on all day.
Come on, Mike. Let's go to work. I'm getting hysterical.
Carolyn follows Michael to the door.
Bye. You know, there's a rumor that they're giving a washing machine away with every dollar purchase at Conn's.
I'll settle for a pair of hand-rolled Stetsons.
Something indecent in that remark. But then anything can happen at Conn's.
Well, what's this dollar day at the Martins, too? Maybe we can get Conn down here. He might like to pick out a few dresses for his place.
He can have them all if he'll take over the second and third mortgages on them.
Come on, let's hurry. Let's go early and avoid the rush.
Now they're struggling to leave Conn's department store through a tide of people.
We came early and avoided the rush. So did everybody else.
A gorilla could lick them all.
I'm married to one. I wish I'd have thought to bring him along. Great gag this dollar day. Towels $1.29, hairbrushes $1.37. Buy all of them any other day for a dollar. I wonder how they keep from going bankrupt.
Carolyn notices an elegant silk robe in a shop window for $49.50.
Hey, if you want to keep from going bankrupt, we better get going.
Well, there's no harm in trying it on.
You better not. It's like a marriage ring. You may take it off, but you'll never be the same.
Oh, come on. I promise you, I'll only try it on.
Come on.
Moments later...
Why did you let that animated catalog talk you into buying it?
Oh, I just couldn't resist it.
And what, my pretty, are you going to use for furniture money?
Oh, I'll make it up next month. If Michael would only let me work, we could have lots of nice things and think nothing of it.
Think nothing of it now. But one fine morning, your budget's going to rise up and smack you full in the face.
That night...
Boy, I'm tired.
Carolyn's already in her bed as Michael climbs wearily into his.
Night.
He switches off the bedside lamp and is settling down to sleep when Carolyn turns it back on again.
Michael, the window.
He throws back the bedclothes and reluctantly goes over to open the window.
Why do you always wait till I'm comfortably settled?
Because it annoys you more.
I appeal to the young men of America. Stay single.
He turns the lamp off once more.
Night.
Night.
Carolyn smiles, but then something else occurs to her, and she reaches for the lamp switch again.
The radio, darling. You left it on.
He rolls onto his side, ignoring her.
Okay, if you want me to go, I'll go.
If you insist.
She gets up.
Appeal to the young women of America. Stay single.
Amen.
Having turned off the radio in the next room, she removes her slippers, climbs back into bed, and turns off the light.
Good night.
Night.
She stares up at the ceiling, wide awake.
I met Miss Borden on the street today.
Why would they ship that old
hag to the glue factory yet?
She said I could have my old job back if I ever wanted it.
You're out of circulation.
Carolyn rolls over with a look of frustration.
Carolyn!
It's the drunken Hugh.
Hey, Carolyn!
What's that?
Sounds like my name.
They both get out of their beds and go over to the window.
Carolyn!
If Carolyn can't hear you, we can.
My good man, I hate to call this to your attention, but that sport model sleeping sack you're wearing is just a bit dated.
If you don't get out of here, I'll call a cop.
Oh, don't disturb yourself. Allow me. Police! Woo! Police! Police!
You better get him up here before the riot squad arrives.
Take it easy, take it easy. You'll be all right. Watch your step. Yeah, better.
Hugh slumps into a chair.
I just brought your husband home. He's in terrible condition. Can hardly make it to the top of the stairs. What he needs is a good cup of coffee.
That's right. Come on, drink this and he'll feel much better.
Oh, put a little cream in it.
A hip flask.
Yeah, I think you've had enough of that, old man.
Hey, get it. Give it back to me.
Take it easy now.
You treat me as if I were drunk. Make him give it back. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Forget it.
My mind's as clear as a bell.
You don't even know what day of the month it is.
Oh, I don't, eh? Well, you ask me, I'll prove it to you.
All right, what day is today?
Monday.
Wrong, it's Wednesday.
Can you imagine that? My valet told me it was Monday. Why don't they tell me these things? Why keep me in the dark? I'm old enough to know.
Be a nice boy and run along.
To Michael.
You be a nice boy and run along. Where do you live? You heard what she said. Now run along.
Oh.
You better get dressed and take him home.
Michael drags Hugh over to the sofa.
You're sure you haven't got any other friends that might drop by?
Oh, none that I can think of at the moment.
You know, I thought at first it was the brand I'd been drinking. So I switched today. But you're just as lovely as ever.
You're talking too much.
All right, come on. Where do you live? Come on, come on. What's the address?
Address? Oh, 87 years ago, our forefathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation.
Michael shoots Carolyn a withering look and stands up.
You better let him sleep it off.
Yes, I suppose so.
Wearing his coat, Michael switches off the lounge lamp. The next morning, Hugh's a little the worse for wear.
Oh.
There is an ice pack on his head, and Carolyn comes into the kitchen to top it up.
How many?
I usually take 2 lumps. No lemon or cream. Oh, do you think it'd help any if I committed suicide?
Oh, let's see what the ice pack and coffee will do. We can always save suicide as a last resort.
He covers breakfast with a hanky.
Here, drink your coffee.
Aren't you having anything?
No, Michael likes me to have breakfast with him before he leaves.
Well, I'm not leaving, but I'd like you to have breakfast with me.
You're leaving just as soon as you're finished. I have too much work to do to bother with stray social lions. I have a house to clean.
Well, let me help you. Beneath a cynical exterior beats the simple heart of a great housekeeper.
Nothing doing.
Moments later, Hugh is vacuuming wearing a pinafore over his evening suit and some underwear on his head.
That's enough! You'll wear a hole in the carpet!
She starts putting the furniture back in place.
Where are the brakes on this thing? How do you stop it?
Not the little button on the handle. Don't you even know that?
He finds the switch.
I lived a very sheltered life.
And then starts gathering up the lead.
Where do you chain this up for the night?
In the kitchen closet.
He pushes the vacuum cleaner into the kitchen while Carolyn dusts. Carolyn goes to answer the front door.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Martin.
Donovan.
I suppose you know why I'm here?
I think so.
I've come to get the third payment on your 6th installment.
I know, but you see, we've been a little hard-pressed. If you'd...
But, Mrs. Martin, there's really a serious discrepancy here. 3 payments and 6 installments. The Acme Furniture Company is disappointed in you, Mrs. Martin.
Come back later, will you, please?
But really, I'm so for the sole purpose of...
Hugh's overheard.
You know, I really should pay you for all of this. After all, a night's lodging, midnight supper and breakfast, sobering up treatment.
It's one of our rules never to charge for stray cats, dogs, or human derelicts.
She goes to get the rest of his things.
And you better be going.
Oh, it's no more than right. Just it.
She answers the door anxiously.
Mrs. Michael Martin?
Yes.
Well, there's a nice, thoughtful husband for you. Very nice.
A huge basket of flowers. Hugh fetches the note for her to read.
From a silent admirer. I don't think your husband would like that.
You think? I know he won't.
I know it's none of my business, but you must have given this mute some encouragement.
Encouragement? I don't even know who he is. But I have my suspicion.
She gets the door again.
Mrs. Michael Martin?
Yes.
Sign, please.
A second, even bigger floral basket. Carolyn signs for it while Hugh reads the note.
Would you advise me to break my silence? Come now, wouldn't you like to fess up? Isn't there anything you'd like to tell me? Are you being fair to your husband? Oh, don't do it, Carolyn. No good can come of it. After all, what do you get by traveling the primrose path? Primroses.
Donning his bowler.
Yes, yes, go on.
She looks at him and folds her arms.
I'm not going to the door.
Well, won't help any. The florist always rings twice. There you are.
Hugh answers it.
Mrs. Martin.
If I were your husband, I'd beat you within an inch of your life.
He tries to usher the delivery boy away.
That was the last one, Mr. McKenzie. Will there be anything else?
Go away.
He pushes the kid out and shuts the door sheepishly.
You were so very nice to me, taking me in and all that. In my own little way, I was trying to show my gratitude. I think I'll trot along now.
Try. In your own little way, you're going to gallop.
She starts throwing the flowers out after him. Outside, Hugh leaves the apartment block laden with flowers. He looks around, then spots a rubbish bin nearby and lobs one of the arrangements into it. Now, an irate workman emerges from a manhole, having had a second bunch land on him, and the third is being worn as a headdress by a workhorse. An Acme Furniture installment account slip shows that September's payment is past due, and another slip October's, and a third November's. Finally, a repossession notice is sent for the missing 3 months' payment from the credit manager R.L. Scott. And the Martin's furniture is taken away.
That's it. Easy does it.
With that awful cold, Mr. Donovan, don't you think you ought to be home in bed?
I'm in perfect health. One payment in 3 months. That just isn't cricket, Mrs. Martin.
Oh, I know you're only carrying out orders, but why on New Year's? Couldn't you carry them out tomorrow?
I never carry out tomorrow what I can carry out today.
Carolyn covers her face. Matty. But he manages to stifle the sneeze.
Today.
That's one gesundheit you owe me.
Up a telegraph pole.
Sure you won't get in trouble dialing a personal number for me?
No, I've been with him too long. Hey, Mike, come on. My face is froze. Shake a leg.
Carolyn gets the phone.
Hello?
Hello, dear. Where am I? I'm sitting on top of the world.
Snap it up a little, buddy. The world's making an awful dent in me.
Say, listen, we're celebrating New Year's Eve tonight. Mm-hmm. I got the money. $50. Saved it out of my lunch allowance. I wanted to surprise you.
But that's almost 2 weeks' salary.
Yes, but this is going to buy us enough fun to last us a whole year. Listen, Paul and I are stuck out here in the sticks someplace. Suppose you and Matty bring our soup and fish down to the office. Hmm? It'll save us at least an hour.
Well, we could call the whole thing off and save at least $50.
It's an old Martin tradition, celebrating New Year's Eve, and I couldn't let the Martins down.
Hey, tell Matty to get my shirt from the chink.
Now, 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 I have spoken.
You said it, buddy. You just finished.
It's snowing heavily.
He's going to blow in $50 for a New Year's celebration. Won't he be surprised to find he won't even have a bed to sleep it off in? All these months, he's thought I've really been getting along.
Carolyn sinks into a chair forlornly.
He's kept complimenting me on what a great manager I've been. Carolyn, the competent. He even thinks we're saving money towards buying his instruments. When he finds out the truth, it'll be like a bridge he built collapsing.
Excuse me, please.
Men come to remove the chairs they're sitting on and a nearby bureau. But Matty doesn't budge.
Pardon me, would you please get up?
I will not.
Mr. Donovan comes over.
But you'll have to get up. What you're sitting on does not belong to you.
After a moment's consideration...
Have it your way. Isn't there something you can do about this?
One very good method, madam, is to pay up what you owe.
The man's a genius.
Some say that I'm a genius, while others say that I'm just a dope.
What do you think?
I'm inclined to agree with both.
Happy New Year!
It's Hugh.
Happy New Year.
Move that out with the rest of the stuff.
He's been hiding two magnums of champagne.
Can I come in now?
Can you come in now?
Matty welcomes him.
Spring house cleaning already?
No, just starting early. Out with the old and in with the new.
Well, you better open these and then we can drink in the new furniture.
One for Carolyn and one for me. Didn't you bring one for yourself?
Well, I was hoping you ladies would offer me a drink.
Champagne's much too good for you. We'll make allowances on New Year's Eve. Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you.
He sits down on the floor by the wall beside her and watches as she sighs heavily.
10 seconds have passed and you haven't spoken a word. That's an all-time high for you.
Well, I'm concentrating on my New Year's resolutions.
Is one of them laying off the fire water?
Oh, no, not that.
Excuse the police, sir.
Well, certainly.
They lift up their feet so a man can roll up the carpet.
You know, I got it all figured out what's wrong with the depression. Now, look, I have a department store that simply refuses to lose money for me. Every week, there are more shekels in the bank, and it just lies there. It doesn't do any good. Now, if I could get that circulated, think how that would help humanity. I thought maybe some of my friends could help me
out. Wait a minute, Hugh. Are you offering me money?
No. But I just thought as a friend, you might want to help.
Well, as a friend, I must ask you not to do it again.
Hugh frowns, but nods.
Here we are. Don't bother about me. I'll just pull up a chair for myself.
All right.
Hugh helps Matty with the tray of drinks.
Make mine champagne.
Fill mine to the top. When a certain bridge starts to fall, I don't want to hear the crash.
He gives Carolyn her glass with a look.
That's yours.
Then takes his own glass.
Cheers.
Mr. Donovan reaches for a framed picture.
Did you feel a ghost go by? Hey, genius. Do you imbibe?
No, but I'll have a drink.
Matty pours him one.
You know, maybe I ought to give you two glasses. One for the dope and one for the genius.
Madam, both of me, thank you.
Hugh to Carolyn.
Another one?
I'll take 10 gallons. Standard or Ethel? Both. I want mileage and a fast pickup.
Matty fills a large glass to the top for Carolyn. Some time later... Carolyn plays piano with Matty sprawled across the top of it, and Hugh, Mr. Donovan, and the removal men propped up all around.
Grow, 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 grow.
Mr. Donovan stifles another sneeze.
That one doesn't count. You still owe me 4 gesundheits.
Outside, the snow continues to fall.
In the springtime, that's where this old dying heart can walk to grow.
Go, 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 go.
Carolyn finishes off Mr. Donovan's sneeze, and having swept her hair away from her face, scowls at him. Mr. Donovan smiles cheerfully, and then fumbles for his pocket watch.
6 o'clock, and the warehouse closes at 5. If we hurry, we can just make it. Come on, boys, get on.
Matty's unconscious on the piano.
Goodbye, Mr. Donovan. And tell the Acme Furniture Company I'm very disappointed in them.
Hey, boys, let me know when we get to 42nd Street, will you?
They push the piano out. Paul and Michael are in a hallway.
Well, Happy New Year.
Uh-huh. Happy New Year.
The man goes to a lift.
Well, sorry, boys, I can't wait any longer. I've got a New Year's Day to my own, you know.
That's all right, Mac. Thanks for waiting this long. Seems like we've been waiting here a year.
Well, Happy New Year.
What, another one? How time flies.
Mike smiles, and the lift doors close.
Must be after 8 o'clock. The elevator boys have gone. I can't understand it. Carolyn's usually so punctual.
You've forgotten Maddie's with her. You know, I married an automatic monkey wrench. She's always getting in everybody's machinery.
Well, I'm getting worried. I hope nothing's happened.
I suppose it's too much to hope that Maddie's run out on me.
The lift doors open to reveal the disheveled Carolyn and Matty.
Hi, boys. Hi.
Matty props Carolyn up while Michael and Paul step into the lift.
Hello.
Well, they started early.
We were just about to call the hospitals.
Oh, I'm not sick, not yet. But who knows what the future will bring. Excuse it, please.
Matty's seeing two of Paul and his cigar.
Hey, you know something? I'm a bigamist. I have two husbands. Say, so if you, we each have two husbands apiece.
Well, that's one advantage. We'll get $70 a week from now on. Right?
Right.
Right.
They shake on it drunkenly. Then Carolyn squints at Michael, seeing six of him.
I've got six husbands. That's one up on the quintuplets. And I love every one of them.
Michael's stern expression melts away. Matty struggles with a suitcase.
Hey, who started the elevator? Here they are.
The case falls open.
All right. Yeah. It'll be a pretty sight in these clothes.
It'll be a pretty sight without them.
We'll hurry and catch up with you.
No, we'll hurry and catch up with you.
It's locked. Well, I guess we'll have to change in the elevator. Here. Hold on, will you? Now for that shirt.
I wonder what a first-class gang would charge me to hold you for ransom.
Just the storage charges.
Paul follows Michael into the lift to change.
Why did you two ever get married?
Oh, I don't know. It was raining and we were in Pittsburgh and...
That's enough. Besides, it was in Kansas City.
Well, that's my socks, dear.
Socks.
Thank you.
Give me my shoes, El Fidelio.
Okay, Cinderella.
Got my trousers, dear.
A woman calls the lift on another floor.
Hey! We're being shanghaied!
Turn on the brakes! Turn on the Johnson rod! Turn off the gas!
Kid, nothing happened!
The woman walks in, and the men are in their shirts and underwear.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
She suddenly notices their state of undress... ...and faints.
That's what I call knocking them dead.
Paul's caught her, and now Michael tries to bring her round. Later that evening, in a bustling dinner hall, a cocktail drink is left to mix in an automatic shaker at the bar. People in evening wear mill about, streamers are thrown, and balloons festoon the large hall. Carolyn to Matty.
It's all worn off. We started too soon.
Well, those moving men shouldn't have started moving so early.
I don't know what I'm going to tell Michael.
Tell him you've been robbed.
I'm afraid he'd never believe that.
Gangway! Excuse me. Well, I finally got a table. Pays to have a little influence. And a $5 bill. Come on, follow me.
Come on, champ. Let's see in how many rounds you can mutilate this dance.
The mob dancing with that mob is like dancing with a steamroller.
I'll close my eyes. I'll get the same effect. If I don't come back, see that I get a decent burial, will you?
Michael smiles and whirls a rattle.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
$50 for it?
Oh, forget about this one splurge, will you?
Darling, would you mind very much if I went back to work?
This is a fine time to pull something like that. On New Year's Eve at $10 a plate? Quit talking fairy tales. I'm not the type.
As a matter of fact, you are.
He frowns.
What are you talking about?
Michael, I'm going back to work.
Out of what clear blue sky did that come? And on New Year's Eve at $10 a head? What's the matter? Aren't you contented? Haven't you been happy at home?
That's the fairy tale part. I haven't. You remember what I told you about the unimportant nice things? Well, they're still all important to me.
No use fighting what's part of me. I'm tired of playing governess to a three-room apartment and a canary.
And I thought I had you all figured out. Just a nice, home-loving wife.
I'm sorry to be such a disappointment to you. I'm sorry I'm the sort of wife who wants to throw her life away working from 9 to 5 instead of lounging around the house waiting for her husband to come home.
Keep up that sort of talk or maybe I won't come home.
You keep up that sort of talk and I'll hold you to that.
It's a fine time to pull something like
that. Oh, I know. It's New Year's Eve and you're paying $10 a head.
I'm going out in that New Year's mob. Maybe I can get some peace and quiet out there.
That's the first sensible thing you've said all evening.
Okay.
He slams his wallet down and storms out through the throng of dancing couples. Suddenly, Carolyn seems deflated. On stage, a dapper man checks his watch to find that it's midnight. He turns back to the conductor. Balloons start falling from the ceiling. Carolyn sits by herself, looking dejected. Nearby, Matty's singing heartily, whilst Paul barely murmurs the words. Then she spots a couple kissing behind them and nudges Paul for one. He scowls, so she pulls the cigar out of his mouth, plants a kiss on his lips, and shoves it back in again. Meanwhile, tears have started to well up in Carolyn's eyes as she sings along, half-heartedly. Out in the snowy streets, Michael makes his way through the revelers, pulling a man's hat down over his face because he got in his way. Unable to quell her emotions, Carolyn stops singing and breaks down, running her fingers through her long, dark hair. As Michael walks on outside, Matty and Paul come back to the table.
Going home, I guess.
Well, after a hard evening's fun, there's nothing like going home to a nice, clean, empty apartment.
A sudden look of realization crosses Carolyn's face, and she pushes her hair back anxiously.
Paul, pay the bill, will you? I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
No, you stay right here, laughing boy.
Now, Carolyn's asleep against the banister on the stairs up to their apartment. Michael's arrival wakes her, and she gets up, blocking his path. She holds out a party streamer and hat, but they have no effect on him. So she puts out her arms and smiles warmly. They embrace and kiss passionately, oblivious to an elderly man coming up the stairs.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, we're married, you know.
Well, that certainly takes a load off my mind.
The stranger heads off, and the couple return to their apartment.
Michael.
Yes, dear?
You're not angry with me anymore, are you?
I'm furious, in a mild sort of way.
Fetching his key.
Michael.
Yes, dear?
Do you love me?
Mildly, in a furious sort of way.
She stops him.
Will you always love me no matter what happens?
Certainly not. As soon as you get a few wrinkles, I'm going to throw you out. Take up with the Girl Scout.
Michael, kiss me.
It's just like old times, kissing you in the hallway.
Now, open the door.
She can't bear to watch, and so closes her eyes as he steps in and throws on the light switch. But everything is as it was. Their furniture has been returned. Carolyn walks in looking utterly bewildered. Then Michael notices a champagne bottle in a cooler with a note. He takes the note and reads it.
I came by and found the place looking rather empty, so I left something to make it more like home. Hugh Mackenzie, the man with the dreamy eyes.
Carolyn takes the note thoughtfully.
If I had that guy's money, I'd spend it on someone who really needs it. That's what comes of not having to work for it. I think every man should work for what he has.
With a look of resolution.
So do I.
Now, a hat, a scarf and a handbag are removed from a locker, and people are punching their time cards. Carolyn hurries down a sunny high street carrying a parcel. Matty to Carolyn's old maid, Mamie.
Mrs. Michael, Martin doesn't come pretty soon, I'm going to have to think up a flock of white lies to throw at her husband.
How's he doing all my cooking, Miss Maddie?
He's thriving. Thinks Mrs. Martin's becoming a great cook. Wonder how much longer she's going to be able to fool him.
Well, you know what Mr. Lincoln said. You can fool some of the people all the time, and some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool some of the people some of the time.
He certainly did.
Can't see why white men folks don't want their women folks to work. I had to get to work the minute I got mad. My husband retired with a mad certificate.
I'd go to work myself if I wasn't afraid of that.
Mamie heads into the kitchen.
She'd come.
Michael's first home.
Oh, Hank.
Well, hello, Michael. What brings you home so early?
Got a surprise. Where's Carolyn?
She's out shopping. That's it. She's out shopping, I think.
Well, make up your mind. Is she or isn't she shopping?
Oh, she's shopping, all right.
What do you think of it?
It's awfully pretty.
It's mine. All mine. No, I'll amend that. It's Carolyn's, too. She saved the dough. There's a gal for you. You know, all I had to do was tell her I wanted to go in business for myself. She cut down on all expenses.
You look well fed.
You don't know it, but Paul's working for me now.
For whom are you working?
For myself.
Michael stops unpacking when he sees Mamie come out of the kitchen behind Matty.
And just who is this African princess?
Did Paul come home with you?
Yes.
Well, then I better go down and get his dinner ready.
Matty stops at the door.
Michael.
Yes?
Have a heart, Michael.
You better go along, Matty. Paul was pretty hungry when I left him.
I expect I better get going. My husband's hungry, too.
Wait a minute.
Mamie turns back to Michael nervously.
Sit down.
Yes, sir.
I want to talk to you.
Outside, Carolyn rushes up the stairs to their apartment.
That's the whole truth, Mr. Martin. That's just how long I've been working here. And I sure hope you's enjoyed my cooking.
Michael gets to his feet.
I certainly have. You've done my wife proud, Mamie.
He goes into the bedroom and slams the door, just as Carolyn arrives home.
Mamie! Sorry to keep you. I had to wait for my pay. Out of here, quick. What did I cook for dinner?
Mushroom soup, roast chicken, canned potatoes, but the potatoes didn't turn out so good.
What's the matter? Did I burn them?
You sure did, Miss Carolyn. Miss Carolyn, I want to...
Oh, yes, I forgot. It's payday for you, too, isn't it? Here. There's yours.
Thank you.
And that leaves $10 part payment on the furniture. That goes to Mr. Hugh McKenzie, the man with the dreamy eyes. Rent. Another 10 towards Michael's bank account for surveying instruments. And only a million or two for myself.
Michael's standing right behind her, calmly doing up his tie.
You may go, Mamie.
Yes.
She leaves through the back.
You did it anyway.
Yes.
Do you intend going on?
Michael strolls back into the bedroom, and Carolyn takes a cigarette from a case on top of a set of drawers near their canary cage. She lights it, then looks into the bedroom to see Michael packing his clothes into a suitcase.
Just a moment, that's my bag.
He empties his things back onto the bed and throws the case aside. Then goes to the closet and takes out another one.
In most states of the Union, they allow even the worst criminal a hearing before they hang him.
He continues to pack.
Don't you think you ought to do something? Say a few words? Hit me, that would be the manly thing to do. Instead of marching off in silence.
I'll say a few words. A few last words. I hate liars.
Well, that was a few words, all right. A very pretty few words.
I thought I bought those instruments with my own money, but I didn't. You work for them, too. That makes an awful difference, Carolyn. I can't even try to make you understand that.
Oh, I understand, all right. Your Martin pride had to remain in one piece. You had to keep on being lord and master at 35 a week, even if it took 85. Anything for the good old Martin slogan, no Martin woman works. Don't pay the butcher, cheat the baker, lie to the candlestick maker. Go about with runs in your stockings, rips in your seams, and lines on your face.
Pardon me.
Through the rocket's red glare, bombs bursting in there, the Martin flag is still lit. So you were going to walk through this door. Well, not until I've walked through it myself. And these are my last few words. Goodbye, Mr. Martin, and give my love to your butcher.
She runs down the stairs in floods of tears. Now, a legal document offering grounds for divorce.
Supreme Court, eh? She's got to summon me to the Supreme Court.
To Paul.
A plain, ordinary, inferior court isn't good enough for her.
See, I tell you what. Let's see if there's room enough there for my name. We'll have a double divorce.
Sure, why not? Let's make it a real party.
Paul scrawls his name drunkenly.
I tell you, let's find an island away from it all. Why, Coney Island.
It's no use. Wouldn't be any different there. It'd still be new Mackenzies, like the fellow who... Here's to all wives who have sense enough to jump the fence when they see greener pastures.
May they find nothing but poison ivy. The Carolyn was lucky. She found a $1 million department store.
What that $1 million department store needs is a little redecorating.
Their carriage stops outside Mackenzie's department store, and they climb out, laden with bricks.
Hold these, my good man.
To a doorman.
You may fire when ready.
Sic semper tyrannis!
They hurl several bricks through a display window, and employees try to restrain them. Michael swings at one wildly. They are both dragged into the store. Now, in Hugh's spacious office.
They're here, Mr. Mackenzie.
Show them in the meeting.
Michael and Paul are brought in by a policeman and two store employees.
Call up your crowd, Mackenzie. There won't be any charges. Have the windows boarded up immediately. You can go now.
But, Mr. Mackenzie, these men are dangerous. They ought to be...
That's all right.
I'll take my chances. Do you mind if you're, Train seal flaps his fins outside.
Well, knock that silver spoon you were born with right down your throat.
Wait outside for me, Paul.
All right. If you need any help, call once. If he needs any help, call twice.
Paul staggers out.
You're a sucker to leave us alone. Because I'm going to tear you apart and throw the pieces to the lions. Come on. Put up your hands.
Michael rolls up his sleeves and steps up to him.
Gladly. But how would you suggest I go about it?
I don't know why I want to waste a punch on you. I ought to pick you up and throw you out the window.
Why?
Taking out the divorce papers.
I suppose you got nothing to do with this.
No, I have nothing to do with that.
And I suppose you're not the guy who took Carolyn to Mayfair a couple of weeks ago.
I was.
And I suppose you're having lunch, dine, nightclub.
Of course I've been out with Carolyn. Often. There's no secret about it. I don't believe in skulking up alleys or dodging around corners.
By what right, I'd like to know? By what right?
For a curiously commonplace reason. I love her.
Michael's taken aback.
Now, if you think that's reason enough for throwing me out of the window, by all means, go ahead.
Michael rubs his face, thrown by this sobering revelation, while Hugh lights a cigarette. The two men eyeball each other. Then Michael leaves. Now, Hugh's showing Carolyn around his lavish home.
Oh, this is lovely.
All you have to do is say one word and it's all yours. You don't even have to say the word. Just nod your head.
She has a mink scarf around her neck and looks as beautiful as ever.
I'm sorry, I don't like the country.
Of course, there'll always be an apartment in town.
Aren't you making a mistake?
I don't think so.
Well, a slight error in judgment, perhaps. Truthfully, aren't you getting your women a little mixed?
I'm thoroughly educated in women. I spotted the kind you were the first time I met you.
Well, you better go back and take a postgraduate course.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, Dad, this is Carol. My father.
How do you do, my dear?
How do you do?
When are you marrying her?
Well, I just proposed to her, but she turned me down.
What's the matter, young lady? Don't you want to marry my son? After all, you sobered him up. You put him back to work. You should be prepared to face the consequences.
Don't you think it's only fair to everyone concerned if we discuss this after my divorce?
Don't worry, son. We've got her going.
This whole section is the plague area. You'll be here at least 12 months. It's a policy of our company, Mr. Martin, not to conceal or minimize any of the dangers that go with the job. It's important work we're doing in that part of the world, and it's got to be done, even if 50% of the men never come back.
Well, that's a better break than most of us get crossing Broadway and 42nd Street.
Well, at least our rewards are greater. I'm sorry I can't give you more time to think this over, but the boat sails tomorrow night. I'll have to have your definite answer now.
The answer is yes.
Fine. Oh, by the way, you know we pay your insurance premiums. I suppose you'll want to make the same party receiving your pay the beneficiary?
Yes, sir.
Very well. You'll find your equipment on board.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mike, don't do it. Sure, they're giving you a lot of money, more money than you can earn in this town in 20 years, but they're handing it to you with a death certificate.
You keep out of this.
I know why you're doing it, but she isn't worth it.
I was married to her. I know better. I'll be at the boat tomorrow night, Mr. Barrows.
Then I'm going with you.
You know you can't do it, Paul. You've got Maddie. She'd break your neck if you did.
With all that dough involved, she'd break my neck if I didn't.
Maddie at home.
The next 30 days, you can send my mail to Fleur Belle Beauty Parlor. For the first time in my life, I can afford to be made over from tip to toe.
Well, don't forget the heel part of you.
Certainly going to be a novelty to pay $59.50 for a dress and not feel it.
Well, any time I pay $59.50 for anything, I want to feel it.
I suppose as a loving wife, I ought to weep about your leaving me. But how often can you find a job where a few years' salary will make you comfortable for life?
Make you comfortable for life, you mean?
Don't worry, darling. I'll leave you enough for a rainy day.
I'll settle right now for a pair of rubbers and an old umbrella.
Paul goes back to the wardrobe. While Matty's packing his things, she finds a document in his case and opens it up to read. In cognizance of the dangers involved, the said company agrees to pay the premium on a $50,000 life insurance policy to be payable to any beneficiary named by the undersigned. After a moment's thought, she starts unpacking his clothing.
What are you doing?
You're not going.
Why not?
That's why.
The policy.
I wondered why they were paying a clerk like you all that money. Well, they can just get themselves another clerk.
Breaking down.
Well, what about the 30 days in the beauty parlor and those 59.50 shawls you wanted and being comfortable for life?
Oh.
What are you bawling about?
I'm finding out that after all these years, I love you. And I'm sore about it.
Well, that's a nice thing to tell a guy, especially when he's your husband. It's indecent.
When you get a new job, I want you no further away than I can throw a pot.
Michael can throw the pots at me.
Oh, so that's it. Michael started this whole thing.
Sure, he's got a cockeyed idea. He wants to give Karen a lot of money so she won't have to throw herself away on that millionaire floor walker.
Michael and Carolyn, that's all I've heard for the past year. They got married for better or for worse, and we've gotten the worst of it. Their budgets, their arguments. Well, we even haven't had a chance to have a good, wholesome quarrel of our own.
Well, we've been doing pretty good.
Now, one of them going to South America and the other's going into high society. We're rid of them. I never want them mentioned in this house again. From now on, we're in this marriage business for ourselves. We're minding our own business.
Where are you going?
I'm going to find Carolyn and tell her what her darn fool husband's doing. Come on.
Mr. McKenzie is at his Le Ponset summer home.
Do you know whether Mrs. Martin's with him?
Why, yes, madam. Mr. McKenzie left with a party of friends. He was going to pick her up at her apartment.
Thank you.
Matty turns to Paul.
What time does the boat sail?
We got a couple hours. The sail's at 10.
Taxi! Taxi!
A taxi pulls up.
How much do you want to take us to the Ponset?
Oh, get in.
She bustles Paul into the cab. Now, Hugh's teaching Carolyn night fishing.
You got it.
The question is, do the fish know I'm doing it correctly?
Oh, you'll always find a few fish who insist on the correct form. Hey.
Oh, I've got a bite! I've got a bite! Well,
reel it in here. Get off the hook.
Which way do I go? Yeah,
this way. This way. That's it. Ooh. Hey, you're all right. Here it comes. There.
It's a tiddler.
Oh. Oh. It's, kind of small, isn't it? Well, let's throw the poor thing back.
All right.
He throws it back and gets more bait.
Now, don't forget what I told you. Keep your head down and follow through. Reel in a little. That's it.
Putting his arms around her.
There you go.
They cast off.
Bam.
Waves crash onto the beach behind them, and Hugh chances kissing the top of her head tenderly. She pauses and then looks back at him.
You know, you've got me hooked too. Are you going to throw me back the same way?
Paul and Matty appear on the beach.
Carolyn! Oh, Carolyn. Matty! What are you doing here?
We've got to talk to you. It's about Michael.
What's the matter? Is he hurt?
Not yet, but he will be if you don't stop him.
Stop him from what?
He's going to South America.
Well, I've been in South America. If you stay out of politics, you won't get hurt.
You've never been to that part of South America. He's got a job down there, and it's 50-to-1 chance he won't get out alive.
Well, why is he doing it?
It means a lot of money, and he wants you to have it.
Even if he has to die for it?
We can't do anything with him.
Come on, what are we waiting for? The boat sails in an hour.
How can we get to him in an hour from away out here?
You got a lot of high-powered motor cars. Why don't you let us have one?
You seem to forget that I'm in love with her, too. If I take her down there, I'll lose her. Then why should I? I'm no hero. I don't care anything about making sacrifices. Is love an emotion only the poor can afford? I'm entitled to love her even if I have $1,000,000.
Please, Hugh.
So you are throwing me back. Do you love him?
No, but I can't let him do that. I don't want anybody dying over me.
You can't very well keep me from it. Let's go.
The four of them head off. Michael to a cabbie.
Pier 48, North River.
The others are in the back of a fast car.
Hope we get there alive. He might like to know why we came.
They eventually pull up at Pier 21 and hurry into the terminal.
Michael!
Hugh lingers by the entrance.
Where do you think you're going?
Hello, Carolyn. I'm going to South America.
Oh, no, you're not.
According to the steamship officials, this boat's going to South America. I took them at their word and booked passage. This gentleman here is putting my luggage aboard.
This gentleman is not putting your luggage aboard. And furthermore, he's no gentleman.
Don't be a sucker, Mike.
Who asked you to say anything?
He's got a right to say what he thinks.
Sure, and besides, you can see that she loves you.
Who asked you to say anything?
May I remind you people that there's a preamble to the Constitution guaranteeing free speech in this country?
Somewhere else in that same Constitution, there's an article making a man's private life his own. Now, the three of you, get out of it. Let me do as I please.
You can't do as you please. I'm your wife. You promised to love, honor, and obey me.
These papers your lawyer so gallantly served on me relieves me of all responsibility to love, honor, and obey.
I know why you're doing it, Mike.
Say, who's been feeding you a lot of romantic nonsense? I'm going because it's a great opportunity, and I always did like enchilada.
That's a grand gesture, Mike. But I don't want you to do it.
Well, you're making a grand gesture, and I don't want you to do it.
I wish somebody would make a grand gesture and offer me a chair.
This is liable to go on all night.
All's ashore that's going ashore.
Goodbye, Carolyn.
All's ashore that's going ashore.
Won't you stay? Even if I promise not to mind the runs in my stockings and rips in my seam.
A long time ago, you told me if a girl didn't chuck her dreams overboard, she'd lose everything, bit by bit. I don't want to stay until you hit bottom. I want you to have something left.
And a long time ago, you said to me, what are we doing? What is this all about? And then you put your arms around me. What are we doing, Michael? What is this all about?
Will you let me keep my Martin pride all in one piece? That's all I have left.
Please don't go, Mike.
See that fellow over there? I want you to go over and start a fight with him.
Oh, but why? What'll I do? I don't know what to say.
Say anything. Insult him. Go on. Go hurry up. Fast.
Think it over, Mike. There are other boats.
Pardon me, sir. But I think that I don't like your looks.
It's Hugh's driver.
Who's this guy? Anybody ever seen him before?
I never saw him before in my life.
No, but you see, I just don't like your looks.
Well, neither do I. Now, run along.
The driver looks back at Hugh, who mimes a punch.
I don't suppose this man's annoying you, is he?
Yes, he certainly is.
Oh.
Hugh urges the driver on.
Well, I'm sorry, sir.
Hey, what's the idea?
Hey, you came out of there.
You asked for it.
Michael punches the driver back, and the pair have to be restrained by uniformed officials. Hugh smiles to himself as crowds gather round to watch the fracker. He blows them a kiss and quietly leaves.
Oh,
Police break up the throng of people and find Paul flat on his back with a crumpled cigar in his mouth.
Oh, he just knocked out cold, that's all.
Who did this?
That's the man that started it. He hit him with a blackjack.
He did, eh? Where's the weapon?
I saw him throw it in the water.
They've set Michael up.
Assault and battery.
With intent to kill.
With intent to kill.
I can prove this is a frame-up to keep me here.
Certainly we're trying to keep him here. I'm his wife. He's deserting me.
Is that so? Charged with abandoning his wife.
I'm his wife, too. He's deserting me.
Hmm. A bigamist. This is starting to look serious. When did you get time to do all this?
And that's not all. He's absconding with the firm's money.
Michael makes a break for the ship.
Let me go. This is a frame-up. Put this down. Embezzle.
Embezzle.
I can prove it. And resisting the law.
And resisting the law.
Let me go.
Outside.
I've got to make that vote.
They force Michael into the back of a police van.
Oh, Lieutenant. We have a confession to make. We've all been very naughty.
He didn't do all those things. We were only fooling.
Well, you were only fooling, eh?
Yes. You see, we just had to keep him from getting on that boat.
You just had to keep him from getting on that boat, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Get in there, all of you! Go on, get in there! Go on, get in there! Get in there! Come on, get in there!
Okay.
Yes, you. Come on, get in there.
Drunk with power.
Cossacks, that's what you are. Why? Cossacks.
Hey, what about me?
Beat it. Go on about your business.
Oh, but officer, she's my wife. For better or for worse, sickness or distress. She's evidently distressed now.
Scram.
Michael, what are we going to do?
You mean, what are you going to do?
All right, if you want a jailbird for your wife.
Michael hops onto the van as it pulls away.
I do want a wife. Even if she is a jailbird, just so long as she's a real bona fide wife.
Darling, what do you say in a letter of resignation? I'm quitting my job and I want to do it properly.
Just say, I quit, love, Carolyn.
P.S. My husband, one of the better engineers, is going into business for himself. I think it's only fair for me to manage his home office. Love, Carolyn.
One of the better wives.
They kiss through the van's metal grating. The end.